Thank you, Lord. All right, Wednesday 9/18/24. The title of this is I Think I Can. Like the little train that could. I think I can. All right. I'll quote you here. I remember one of the things my mother used to say, can't, never, could do anything. It's a scriptural principle. Can't, never, can do anything. So we're going to look at, you know, I can and I can't are both correct. I mean, whatever you choose, you'll get whatever you choose. Okay. Our thinking processes are so important that God exhorted us to change our negative thinking from I can't to I can. Yeah. That's what renewing of the mind process is. We're going to read the scripture. You know the scripture, but we're going to read it again. This is Romans 12, 1 and 2. I think the first thing that a Christian, after they get born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit and water baptized, the next thing ought to be go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now get in the Acts, start in Acts, go to Revelation, and read it over and over and over and over and over. Okay. This is, oh, I already told you this minute. Renewing your mind. All right, 1 and 2 here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Is it beseeching? I'm asking you. I'm asking you, brethren, to do this. Because you know what? I just dealt with an issue today of someone that's a Christian, but they don't have a renewed mind. So really, they're not much different than the world. They're a byproduct of the world and the world system. They don't think like a Christian. You don't just automatically, because you become a Christian, that you just change and everything you do is right. It's just the opposite. So I have a lot of Christians that are in despair because they're down and out all the time because they can't ever seem to do what they want to do because they haven't renewed their mind. See, God has a plan, and if you don't renew your mind, you'll never fit it. Think about that. God has a tailor-made plan for you, so your mind's going to have to fit that plan. I mean, when we started in this 10 years ago, I never dreamed I'd be here the way in the mindset I have. I'm not even the same person I was. I'm thinking, what did I even believe before? And the Lord strategically did it and took us through a process into different areas where I didn't know anything about. I didn't need no preacher to get up there and tell me about it or write a book that I needed to read. The Holy Spirit showed it to me supernaturally. And He'll do the same for you in your tailored plan that God has for you. So quit looking to everybody else for your answers. You have to find the answers yourself with your personal relationship. And that comes by renewing your mind. It's part of the process. Praying in the Spirit's also part of the process. You go from glory to glory, being transformed into His image. Okay. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. What do they do with the sacrifice? Gets killed. More of you and less of me. You know what I'm saying? I'm crucified with Christ. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I mean, this is not, it's kind of like, does this seem unreasonable for you? I think I was mentioning to Danny yesterday or the day before about the fact that, or maybe it was Sunday, about what all we've been through. It's like, Is there anything in me left, Lord? So much has changed. So much has been whittled off. People think, well, you know, what you're going through, that's unreasonable. No, it's not. It's the real deal. This is the way it really is. We just were never told how it really was. Nobody ever got far enough in their walk that we knew. I'm talking about knew. That even had a clue. I believe Brother Hagin was one of them. He's the only one on my book right now. Because I don't really know. I mean, I've read after others, but he's the only one the Lord said you could read after him if you needed to find some. He was so simple and easy to understand. So that's the real deal. I don't know of anybody else that walked it like he walked. I mean, here you go. What, 87 was when he died? 86. And he, from the time he got off the deathbed when he was 15 to 17 in that area right there, the only time he ever went to the hospital was when he broke his elbow and the Lord said, go on. And, you know, and they had to do a little surgery on his elbow. And that's when Jesus come into the room and talked to him for an hour or so. But any other time, he never. I mean, he didn't talk sickness. He didn't talk disease. He acted just exactly the way, as an example for the body of Christ, the way it was supposed to be. And he did it. He actually did it. I don't know of anybody else like that. Nobody. Okay. And be not conformed to this world. What does that mean? All the way, like the Lord talked to us about the healthcare system on Sunday, all the ways of the world and the ways of doing things that are of men, right here, don't be conformed to that. So he's saying, this is your reasonable service, to learn how to walk in the Spirit and do it God's way, not the ways of the world, not to adapt the ways of the world into the church. Not supposed to be that way. And if you do, you're a fanatic. You're that weird one over there, because everybody else does it the other way. It says it's your reasonable service. This isn't an outlandish thing. This isn't something way out there in left field that nobody's ever heard of. Oh, they're weird. They're weird. I remember mentioning it to somebody about Brother Palmer being an apostle, you know, to someone. But they were talking about, before I'd ever mentioned that, how weird he was. Oh, he's weird. I'm going, he was normal. He was normal. It was them that are weird. They didn't renew their mind. So they just quit going there. I wished I knew what we knew now, what we knew then. I'd have stuck with that guy. All these other freaks that we dealt with back and forth, all their hang-ups and all their mess. I mean, we all have problems. But the leaders ought to be a little above it, don't you think? Be able to walk it out and show it. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That just means metamorphose, which is just like a butterfly, you know, a caterpillar. Is it the caterpillar that gets in there and makes a cocoon and the butterfly comes forth? By the renewing of your mind. This word right here, the word of God, is what can do that, has the power to do that. That ye may prove. God says you can prove it. Proof is in the pudding. If you don't ever do it, you won't ever know. An acceptable and perfect will of God. People can pray all their life and ask God, what's your will, what's your will, what's your will, what's your will? Well, it doesn't make any difference. You would not be able to do it until you do this. You're going to have to renew your mind to fit your call. You can't do it in yourself. If you do, you'll be just like any other Joe out there that does whatever. They may be in the spirit a little bit, but they don't know enough to, because we didn't know either. We didn't know. And I'm not saying we've arrived. Don't get that impression, but we're doing all we can to follow the Spirit. That's the only thing worth following. All the rest is just, well, that's why we were not in churches. The Lord pulled us out for a reason, because we would not have learned it in a church. We would not have. Not in this area, anyway. All right. Renewing means renovation. You got to be remade to fit your call. And that's what this has been all about. Because if you didn't, you could not do it. Not at all. All right. What is a renovation? Making something new out of something old, right? A transformation. God must have you do this. He will not do it for you. Once you do, He can reveal to you the plan He has for you, but He will not until you do it. He can't. Now, as you begin to do that, He can maybe show you the first step. That's why it's the walk of faith. It's not the leap of faith. You're just going to do it a step at a time. And when you got that down good, then if you continue in the renewing of the mind process, you don't stop along the way. You keep going, then He'll show you more. I'm telling you, what He has for you is beyond you. All right. If you don't do this, then you will not know God's plan for you. And when you get to heaven, when He comes, I'll just say when He comes, He's going to ask you, what'd you do, what I told you to do? Well, Lord, I didn't ever know what you wanted me to do. He's not going to be pleased. And I don't know what the punishment will be for that. Lord knows. Few blows, it says. One, you know, was beaten with many stripes, one fewer. I don't want any stripes. I want Him to say, well done, a good and faithful servant, because you continue to renew your mind with the Word of God. And this is the plan. This is the plan for every Christian. Not saying anything against seminaries and different things. I guess some seminaries can have a portion of maybe what God wants to train a person. But if the Holy Spirit's renewing your mind to God's will, anything more perfect than that, save you, probably save you a lot of money too. All right. Once that is established, verse 3, for I say to the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But don't, in other words, just because you're an apostle, don't think you're all that, like the queen. No, it means that God supplies the grace to be able to walk and stand in where He calls you. Don't think more highly of yourself, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So every person has the grace to go with their calling. So you shouldn't think, oh, look what I've done. No. It's never to be that way. Remember, you're dead. You've been presented as a living sacrifice, so that now God is pulling the strings. Okay, let me see here. Well, we live in a negative world, and there are a lot of I can'ts in our faces. But Jesus said He had overcome the world for us. This is John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And I don't think I wrote down the right scripture. Well, let me keep reading. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Where is that scripture, Danny? I thought I'd written down the right thing. He's overcome the world. Do you know where that is?
He that overcometh the world.
No, when Jesus said it.
I'll be of good cheer, I've overcome the world.
Yep.
John 16:33.
Maybe that's where I wrote it down. I put 13. Thank you. 16:33, there's not, okay. You're right, right here. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So Jesus is the one that's overcome the world. So overcome means to subdue. I just looked up the dictionary word. It says to conquer and bring into subjection. So if Jesus overcame, he lives in us, then we overcome. There's several scriptures on that if you want to look it up. All right, now go with to Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So the I can comes from He that's in us. I was telling Danny today, the Lord spoke to me a scripture because I was struggling with something, and he just said, just came up in me, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. None of this is by our own strength or merit. This is all God's plan. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what it's all about. Okay, the power is released by your words. See, it has to do with your mind, but you have to make the decision to decide whether I can do this or I can't. We have decisions all day long facing us to say the right thing. Right here, this is Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. Like I said, both are right. The power is released by your words. Either way. Yeah. We have to make it a priority that no matter what we're experiencing, we have to keep that I can in our on our lips. I can do it. And it's not on... Here a few weeks ago before my shoot, I had an evening that had some attacks and stuff like that. And I was suffering. I was thinking, Lord, I don't know how am I going to do this? And I hardly had any sleep that night. I think I had maybe an hour or two sleep, and I did four programs the next day. And I was thinking about things. I said, Lord, what is going on here? He said, don't focus on what's coming against you. Focus on the power that's inside of you. That's that greater is he that's in you. Focus on that power. That's the only way Paul could have done what he did. I mean, take the list of all the things he went through. That's the only way. He was no different than you or me. He was just a human being just like us. But he was able to overcome in all those situations. And he knew where his power source was. And he was positive in what he said about it. Okay. Words produce action. Right here. If someone observed you behind the scenes, what would they see or hear? Man, that guy can just do anything. Or, oh, they're a basket case. I mean, really, what would they see? It seems easy to act up and say the wrong things, etc., because the world programs us that way. The enemy would have you in reaction mode all the time. You're either reacting or acting at all times. Which really, reacting is also acting, just in the wrong way. God's way deprograms us so we can be what God's word says we are with corresponding action. Completely changes your thinking processes to his way of thinking. I want to read a few scriptures here. First one is Psalms 18:29. These simple things that I'm bringing you tonight, most people know nothing about. Most Christians know nothing about them. And that's why, you know, when one stands out, well, they're weird or they're, you know. No. I'd rather be weird and be going in the right direction than to fit in with the crowd. All right, this is 18:29. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Well, I'm just thankful today the Lord allowed me to get up and clean one of the bathrooms and run the vacuum and run the Swiffer. That I can. In other words, I don't want to do nothing. If you go with your flesh and you go with the natural inclination of the world, I don't want to do nothing. I'm thinking, no, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this. Thank you, Lord, that you give me the grace to do this. And you get up and do it. It's not about how you feel. If you walk by how you feel, that's not good. Because the devil will try to accommodate you on that and make sure you don't feel like doing anything. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He knew how to do it. And if we don't have anybody else to look to, we can look to him. All right, Philippians chapter 2. Right here, verse 12. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's his plan. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Ye may be blameless and harmless as sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yet, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. He's also the one that says, follow me as I follow Christ. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. See, that's when we faint in our minds, that's when we say things we shouldn't be saying. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. See, what the Lord's doing in us is for our good. And he doesn't do it for his good. He does it for our good. Right here. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had our fathers of flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. This comes by the renewing of the mind process. In our walk, we walk higher. All right, 1 Peter 4. It is hard on the flesh, isn't it, to do this? Verse 1 there. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer would live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. There's the goal. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine and revelings, banquetings and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of rites, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. This is the walk of the Spirit. It's not the walk of the flesh. The walk of the Spirit is, I can. All right, here's a few more scriptures to renew our minds by. This is 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now I'm going to give you a little key here. When you start doing things, speaking right, doing right, and fear comes against you, it's a tactic. You're doing something right. You can gauge it by that. All right. Matthew 19:26. I've been saying, oh yeah, I get it. Right on target. We're not ignorant of his devices, okay? We're not. 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible. If you think your situation is hopeless, think again. It's not impossible. 2 Corinthians. I just wrote down a few. Man, I have 10 pages of scriptures on just this type of building I can type of mentality. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Nine and ten here. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's Paul dealing with the thorn here. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, Paul said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. All right, Philippians 4:19. I believe that one is God supplies all your needs. Not according to your riches, according to His. 4:19. Nope. What did I say? 4:19. Oh, I should get in the right book. What did I tell y'all? 4:19, Philippians. Sometimes my tabs hide from me there. 4:19. 13, I can do all things through Christ. And then, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When you do it His way, He supplies. Okay, now go to Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All right. That's Mark. Let's turn the page here. I have Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. John, 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 Peter 5:7. There's just bunches of them. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Only one Old Testament one. This is Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Right here, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Sounds good to me. All right. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. There's the can do. And now we know how we can do in him. The only way, in Him. He's the supply. Luke 1:37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. All right. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Now, it may feel like you're not able, but God says he won't tempt you or allow you to be tempted. He doesn't tempt any man, but he will allow you to be tempted, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Okay, Ephesians 3:16. Just a few more. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. There's that renewing by the Holy Spirit. All right, that's Ephesians 3:20, just a page over. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Jesus in you. Romans 8. This is 31. First one's 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Question mark. Who? If God's for us, anyone greater than God? 37 there. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. One more, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Okay. I can.